Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Welcome to today's Business Process Management podcast on eBizQ.net. In preparing the recent eBizQ article on BPM and cloud computing, available as a feature article here on eBizQ, I caught up with Fujitsu software product development and marketing folks for the first time in a few years. As you may know if you read my blog post, I was a skeptic about cloud computing as not being much different than service bureaus or software as a service, application, service provision, and whatever buzzword fits in your generation. But basically, with the help of Fujitsu and some others that I interviewed, I was at least convinced that at least in terms of BPM, the cloud can make a difference. The key is that BPM software or service should be architected in such a way as to take advantage of the cloud. Presumably, software is more functional if it is designed or redesigned to run in the cloud, as opposed to simply taking advantage of the cloud's business model or telecommunications characteristics. So I thought it made sense to ask one of the sources that helped me, Rajiv Onat, Senior Product Manager of InterStage at Fujitsu, to join me in a podcast to explain some of these fine points that we just can't get across when we're doing a feature article like the one that's on eBizQ. So Rajiv, let me start with an easy question about the generic aspects of BPM in the cloud, which will be useful to our listeners no matter what products they might be using or considering. When I did my research, I found that the key was to distinguish among BPM cloud-related architecture, technology, functionality, and features. Now, again, don't have to worry about all four of those characteristics, but to what extent do you guys look generically at the different aspects of BPM in the cloud?
Sure, Dennis. I think from an architectural perspective, the BPM cloud providers should be technically looking at a scalable platform that supports the fundamental principles of multi-tenancy. You know, it's all about onboarding various tenants and multiple tenants onto a shared instance of the BPM. So the underlying infrastructure should be scalable enough to accommodate those, as well as provide you different deployment options to support different cloud models. When you look at cloud models, there are three varieties that we target on: the public cloud, the private cloud, and the hybrid cloud. So in all of these three different models, the deployment options for multi-tenancy slightly vary. And from a public cloud offering perspective, you're looking at a classic multi-tenancy. From a private cloud perspective, we are looking at a single-tenant multi-application scenario. And from a hybrid model, you're looking at a combination of both.
Let me back you up on the multi-tenancy for a quick minute, and then I'm going to ask you about the hybrid. I hear you saying that multi-tenancy is a feature of many but not all clouds. But if a BPM software is architected and developed to run in multi-tenancy, it's going to run in basically any kind of cloud. Is that a fair statement?
I think that is correct. Yes, it is designed to run in any multi-tenant environment. But the multi-tenancy comes at different layers. So there is the infrastructure and the platform as a service layer where the underlying platform itself should support multi-tenancy. But from a software perspective, there is also a requirement where the multi-tenancy support is required. And I think that's the point I'm trying to hit on, where what we have learned from our earlier experience with on-premise BPM implementations are, you know, you have a shared services type environment where you have to support multiple line of business applications. And to be able to onboard these different line of business applications onto a shared infrastructure, you need the software itself to be supporting multi-tenancy.
Gotcha. And when you talk about hybrid, I interpret you to talk about BPM software that runs both on-premise and in the cloud and hopefully runs the same way in both. Is that your intention, and how important is that?
Yeah. Actually, that is a really important part of the overall offering, because when you talk about business processes, that they are no longer native to an organization. You know, the processes cross organizational boundaries to interact with external service providers and external business partners. So it is important to basically capture the process from an end-to-end perspective. So the sections that are internal to your organization can run on an on-premise model, but the processes that cross your organizational boundary, where you have to bring your external business partners or your service providers, you need a public cloud deployment model where by doing that, you're able to look at the process end to end.
Well, I know from my years of research into BPM that InterStage started as an on-premise implementation, as did many of the products we look at. And so what did you learn from that on-premise approach that helped you get into the cloud?
Yeah, I kind of touched that point earlier in your other question, but fundamentally what we learned was if you walk into an enterprise, especially from a BPM perspective, you see that there are a lot of inconsistencies in the tools that they use to model the business process, and it could vary from a tool like Visio or a traditional modeling environment to writing a document and using various other modeling tools. So there is a lot of inconsistencies within the enterprises when they capture the essence of the organization's business process. So what we learned from there was we were able to help them set up a shared services environment where you can actually have a BPM Center of Excellence platform and direct all the users, the internal users, to the shared platform so they have a consistent interface and tools to design and automate and optimize their business process environment. By doing that, what we learned was the shared services environment, if it can support multiple applications within an organization, it can be extended onto the cloud to support multiple tenants as well. So I think that learning experience have really contributed to our entry into the cloud BPM space. We've been doing these kind of things for quite some time now, so that's really justified our entry into cloud BPM.
I think you've done a great job of stepping us up from the architecture to the development aspects to the functionality. One thing in particular that Fujitsu educated me about when I was doing my article was what you guys called end-to-end business process visualization. We're talking about seeing the pattern within business transactions in order to build up the process set. And again, I don't know how unique that is to the cloud, but just in general, what are you doing in that area? And if it is unique to the cloud, that's even better. But however Fujitsu is using business process visualization, I think will be interesting to our users.
Sure. So again, as I said, when you look at your end-to-end business process, there are segments in your processes that are outsourced. And most of these outsourcing vendors or the providers will provide you kind of a black box type of an approach, and you do not have any visibility into their processes and how those processes affect your internal processes going forward. So it's important to accommodate the SLAs, at least at the minimum level. It's important to accommodate the service level and the key performance indicator on to your end-to-end business process. So from a cloud perspective, it's all about leveraging existing cloud providers. Like, for example, we've built extension to support Salesforce.com, ADP, Workday.com, and things like that to leverage the services that are already out there. And if any organization uses those services, then it's important to bring them into the one end-to-end business process.
Well, thank you very much, Rajiv. This has been Rajiv of Fujitsu InterStage Product Marketing Group, and has really given us some good input on BPM in the cloud here on ebizq.net. And we'd like to thank Rajiv, and thank you for listening.
This has been an ebizq podcast.